now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you after a busy sports weekend. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here on Sports Daily, and we have, as we do on most Mondays, a lot to get to here on the program. A full college basketball weekend, pretty interesting college basketball weekend for a variety of reasons. When it comes to Wichita State, KU, K-State, we'll dig into all of it today, including a visit with Shocker head coach Paul Mills a little bit later in this hour. We also had a ton of football since the last time we talked. We finished up the other CFP semifinal game and, of course, got the NFL wild card round almost all the way wrapped up. One more game tonight. Wild card round, as the NFL playoffs typically do, delivers fantastic football games, most of them decided within one score. So we'll talk about that as well as we make our way through here today. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where you can drink Buffalo Sweat and help Buffalo right here in Kansas. In January and February, at all three WBC locations, a portion of proceeds from every draft pint of Buffalo Sweat Oatmeal Cream Stout will help support Maxwell Wildlife Refuge. WBC pizza and beer made here. You can call us at 869-1240. You can leave us video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Leave us your voice messages through the Odyssey app if you're listening there. TJ, good morning. How are you?
I'm tired, Jacob. It was a busy weekend. A lot of football to watch, a lot of basketball to watch. The Shockers might be back. I think that they're undefeated when Jacob Brock is in attendance. Is that correct?
Yeah. They've done where to 2-0 this year, maybe 3-0 when we've been there. I'm excited to talk Shockers. We'll do it with Paul Mills in just a little bit. But that was at least a re-inspired performance in front of one of the better crowds I've seen there this year. It was a pretty good Sunday afternoon crowd, so that was good to see that. Didn't get to 67 yesterday, which was you know, my kids were looking forward to that. But that's all right. We'll take it in a win. KU with just about a billion more questions. KU probably will end up being one of our bigger topics of the day. In K-State, I don't know, TJ. What? I mean,
it's not good.
9-7.
I don't know. Are they gonna? I think that's the biggest question that we can make a stance on. Are they gonna finish with a winning record
in the Big 12
overall?
I
mean, they're 9-7 now, and they've had kind of not the easier part of the schedule. They played number 10 and number 1, but
you know, I would have to say no.
I know. Like, the Big 12 has to be harder than their non-con. And they, you know,
they would have to be
five losses in the non-con.
They'd have to be two games above 500 in the conference the rest of the way to get to 500. So three games. Oh man, I don't think so. Not based on what we've seen.
I know.
Not based on what we've seen.
And that's the point that I brought up to yesterday to the K-Stater in the newsroom, is that, like, listen, this is a team that obviously is a completely different team, not the same players, but Jerome Tang found a way to take that group last year that, you know, you can make an argument that was worse than this team this year, and they rattled off seven straight wins against teams they had no business beating. And so there's no doubt in my mind they're going to upset somebody, and maybe a couple times they'll upset people, but man, they're going to lose a lot of games that they should win.
Yeah, so, you know, they didn't finish above 500 last year, like you said. They haven't finished above 500 in the Big 12 since Jerome Tang's first year, the Magic Elite Eight run. They've finished tied for ninth place in the league each of the last 2 years, and they're off to probably a worse start than that this year. This can be tough. It's going to be tough. They're going to have to do something special. We've got a lot of uncomfortable conversations right now around college basketball in this area. Bill Self having to answer a lot of tough questions right now with KU. That will be an interesting discussion today and throughout the week. It's an uncomfortable time right now around college basketball for us, because there's just a lot of questions.
Is there something to be said that I joined Sports Daily and all this happened? Like, I joined Sports Daily when the Chiefs were one of the best teams in football. Mm-hmm. And then I took on full time, and then it's boom. Missed the playoff.
I'm not sure you need to reevaluate some things in life, but you might need to reevaluate some things.
I might need to. I don't know if I'm, like, doing some voodoo stuff wrong, if I need to be, you know, making phone calls to people? I'm not sure.
KU is home tomorrow night in the, you know, the late window against Iowa State. And K-State is in action Wednesday.
Did you see? We got it. I want to bring this up. You see K-State's schedule this week? You see what their Saturday game is? At Oklahoma State. At Oklahoma State at 9 p.m.
What? Is it a weird network?
I don't know. But it's at 9 p.m.
Goodness. The Shockers don't play till Thursday. 9 p.m.?
Oh, there is a chance. Goodness. If you go to that game, you may not get to your car until midnight.
Oof. And what? It's in Stillwater?
Yes.
I don't know about
I always pencil down all the Stillwater games or all the Norman games back
just
when they were kids.
It's like,
it's drivable. We can go do it. I'm like, all right, when's K-State go play them? Like, all right, January 17th at 9 o'clock. I'm not going to that if you paid me $1,000.
Gross. Yeah, gross. No, we'll have to deal with that. We got an NFL playoff game tonight. Texans Steelers. What'd you make that wild card round?
Pretty good. Just about every single game was pretty good.
Pretty good. The game last night wasn't good, I wouldn't say, but it was tight most of the game at least. I mean, you kidding me with some of these games? The Rams, the Bears. They put it up yesterday. It was during the Niners-Eagles game. And it was when the Eagles had the ball with 2 minutes left. And I think, don't quote me on this, and I watched all these games, so I should just be able to rattle this off, but, you know, it's a weekend, so you're kind of in and out. But I'm pretty sure it's that at that point, every team that won was trailing with 2 minutes left to go in the game.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's probably true.
And so I was just like, that's stupid. Like, that's ridiculous.
Nuts.
God, it was good. It was so good. And I got, you know, yesterday, my son and I had the Bills Jags finish, you know, on the phone while we're watching the Shockers game is like in the little cup holder. Man, just it doesn't quit being awesome. And like, who are you picking right now?
I don't know.
Based on what we've seen thus far, who do you feel honestly, good about? You'd probably say the Niners, but the Niners lost Kittle.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say is that, like, man, they were the team. It's just like, I don't know how they're so good, but they are, and they beat people, and like, they could win a Super Bowl. And it's like, well, now their favorite target's not going to play the rest of the playoffs. I don't know.
I said the Rams going in, but the Rams narrowly escaped.
I feel awful about the Rams.
I will say, though, remember the Panthers beat them. Maybe Carolina just has something on them. Like, maybe Carolina just had figured something out about them that nobody else could. Because if you step away from that one, well, Seattle beat them in overtime, but they were, you know, they were humming other than that game pretty much since October. They took Seattle. That was the overtime game, that incredible game. And remember, that was Seattle coming back in the wildest fashion. So I think I still feel okay about the Rams. But again, yeah, you were 10-point favorites and just barely won that game. I don't know. We'll discuss it next. What are our favorite stories? And there's still another game to play tonight. We got a lot of college basketball talk. Again, Paul Mills later this hour. KU fans, we got to have a conversation about the Jayhawks. So we'll bounce around a little bit here this morning. Don't go anywhere. It's Sports Daily. It's Albrock and Cleland. On a Monday.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on a Monday, a busy Monday. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. It's golf weather. I don't know what else to say. It's golf weather out there. If you want access to 36 holes of golf, maybe you can play 18. Maybe you can play 4. Doesn't matter. Out of Crestview Country Club, you play when you can. Give them a call. Good time of year to join. Best deals on memberships. All different kinds of memberships for you. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. We come back in, TJ. Sunday Night Football was the least entertaining game of the weekend's games, right? 16-3. The Chargers couldn't get anything going. The Patriots defense maxes Patriots, holds true. It's kind of a Patriots D and Drake May show, and has been all year. And they looked really good in that game. We've got one more tonight, Texans and Steelers. The Bills topple the Jags, 27-24, comeback win. 49ers beat the Eagles, 23-19, comeback win in the second half, not quite as dramatically. Rams come back late to beat the Panthers, 34-31. Bears, you want to talk about comebacks, outscore the Packers 28-6 in the second half to win 31-27. All the games entertaining, the NFL playoffs deliver.
They do. It's, in a year where it's the weirdest that I can remember, mostly because the Chiefs aren't in it is why I'd probably say that. But the weirdest that a lot of people can remember in recent history, that really having no idea who's going to win the championship, like, that's to a T. The microcosm of the weekend is what we've seen all season, basically.
It's hard not to default to the Bills for me in the AFC, because it's Josh Allen. And even though I do think this is his worst team, well, it's a very different team than we're used to him walking into the playoffs with. That's a really impressive win to go to Jacksonville and get that win. He came up hobbled twice in that game. The Bills are just, they're different this year. They run the ball like crazy, and they play okay defense. I mean, they're not like a juggernaut. They try to control it through the run game. That's what they do. And they're down running backs, and we'll see.
It feels like for them, it's the season where, you know, it's not the Bills, as you said, and it's not as, you know, high-powered of an offense as we've seen in the past. And so you watch them play yesterday. You watch them play all season, whatever you want to say. Like, you watch them, and you're like, is this team good enough to go to a Super Bowl? Like, I have no idea. And, like, they win games, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're good enough to go to the Super Bowl because they have Josh Allen, and it's just not very clear to us who is, right? You know, of the teams, man, in the AFC right now, I think that you look at the Patriots, and it's hard not to get behind it. We just haven't seen it before, right? That's the only thing holding them back, right? They played kind of a soft schedule, and we're just not used to it. We're not used to it. We're not used to it with them. We're not used to it with the Bears, who came back. Look at those two young quarterbacks on display a little bit there. You're going to get Bo Nix out of that class on display next week. That great class keeps delivering. Who's to say that Nix or May can't go to a Super Bowl in their second year? Who's to say, you know, Caleb Williams can't get to a Super Bowl in his second year? These quarterbacks are very good. We're seeing it. We just haven't seen it before. So it's hard to retrain our brains for it. We'd seen Jalen Hurts. We've seen Josh Allen. We've seen Matt Stafford, right? We know Aaron Rodgers. We know, to a lesser degree, CJ Stroud. So we know some of this stuff. But with these newer teams and newer quarterbacks, I think it's just hard to retrain our brains a little bit. I got to tell you, like, my favorite story out of all of this is Caleb Williams. Like, the way Caleb Williams carries himself now, and the way he is so clearly matured as a pro, right, into this year, listening to him talk, he's a totally different person. And I think it's benefiting. I don't know if that's a credit to Ben Johnson. I don't know if that's a credit to just, you know, getting a little older like most of us do. but he looks awesome. He's saying the right things. I think his story's been fantastic this year. Y'all forgot about him.
It's true. I thought you were about to bring up your favorite postseason argument that drives me bonkers, is saying that you can't win a Super Bowl without a Hall of Fame quarterback, even though winning Super Bowls makes you a Hall of Fame quarterback. Will Drake make it win a Super Bowl? I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame quarterback yet.
These guys are young. That's before the end of that. Matt Stafford's not won yet. Russell Wilson's not won yet.
Yeah, I know.
You go find me a bunch of them, because it's like Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, and that's it.
I know, but it
Flacco,
kills me.
I guess Flacco goes three.
I know, but let me tell you, winning a Super Bowl helps your Hall of Fame case if those guys didn't win Super Bowls.
I don't understand what you're arguing against. Of course it does.
Say that you have to have a Hall of Fame quarterback to win a Super Bowl, but also winning a Super Bowl makes you a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's the inverse of itself.
That's right. So you gotta be able to win a Super
Bowl. But the Giants won a Super Bowl with Eli Manning. Would Eli Manning be a Hall of Famer if he didn't win Super Bowls?
Would Tom Brady be a Hall of Famer if he didn't win Super Bowls?
Yes. Look at the stats that he posted.
Of course they're Hall of Famers because they won Super Bowls. But what I'm like, your average run of the mill quarterbacks in this league don't win Super Bowls most of the time, about 90% of the time.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. Like that has to be your trajectory or you ain't going to get there. Look at Philip Rivers, the Hall of Fame quarterback that didn't win one, right? There's lots of great quarterbacks that don't win one.
It's true.
It's a tough thing. Jalen Hurts may not be a Hall of Fame quarterback by the time it's all said and done.
But winning a Super Bowl helps him.
Yeah, he's been to two. So maybe. And he runs the ball at a tick we haven't really seen. So that's a part of it. And who's to say Caleb Williams and Drake May aren't going to be Hall of Fame quarterbacks? That's my point now, is they might very well be at that level. We just don't know yet. You know, we look back at these guys and say, oh, okay, yeah. And we see, Patrick Mahomes in his second year as a starter won a Super Bowl. Why can't one of these three win a Super Bowl? They for sure can. But I don't think we're ready to, we're not ready. This is hard. Like we haven't seen it before. So we're like Rams. Yeah. Like totally can see it. Bills. Totally. Yes. Absolutely could happen. Niners. They've been to lots of Super Bowls recently. Yeah. They could do it. Okay. I don't know what I want here out of the playoffs at this point. I don't know if I want one of these young guys to do it. I don't know if I want, if there was a time I wanted Josh Allen to do it, where it's like, just give it to Josh Allen. He's been so awesome. Let's just get him his Super Bowl.
What's the most chaos scenario it could be that it's just like those teams are in a Super Bowl?
Oh,
it's the Bears, right? The Bears and who?
I mean, they're the two seed.
Yeah, but still, like, just like historic, like in the last decade, it's like, wow.
Chaos scenario is probably Texans. Yeah, I guess Bears.
I know. The Texans are the least notable team of the last.
Well, I mean, Texans are favored tonight on the road.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying more so the fact of like when you look at the logos, it's like they won a Super Bowl. Wow. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It would have been the Jags. I mean, it's been the Bears. It's been my lifetime, 85, right? The Steelers are the least likely.
Yes.
But by the time you got there, it'd be like, oh, it's Rodgers, right? Oh, it's Rodgers. And it's they're the worst team in this group. I don't even think it's particularly close. And they could win tonight. They're at home. Of course they could win tonight. They're at home playing an offense that's been pedestrian. You get lucky on 2-3 big plays and you could win that game.
They don't usually play the Monday night playoff game, do they?
People have asked me that. I don't know. I don't think they have before. I like that they are.
I told a bunch of people last week. Yeah,
the Texans the Texans or the Steelers will go on short rest.
Yeah, it's true. That's what I told I told a lot of people. I'm like, nope, there's no more Monday Night Football the rest of the year. And then the schedule came out and I said, never mind, I was wrong. There's Monday Night Football.
Yeah, there's three games. I say that, though. There's three games and one more to come. So in the divisional round is usually where you'll get, like, NBC will probably get a game. I mean, they might play one of them on Monday night next week. Play one Saturday, two Sunday, one Monday. Maybe. I don't think they will.
I doubt they'd put it.
Oh, no, they won't, because the national championship.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's just going to get the short end of the stick and play on a short week. But The flip side of it is you had a long week this last week, but both teams had a long week. Now you go into next week, you're going to play somebody who had one extra day to prepare. That's probably why we don't usually see that. Usually they'll just put the ESPN game or ABC game on like Saturday. So this may be the first time. I don't remember. But it's fine. I'm glad we have it now because I'm glad it's on tonight. Yeah. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Texans Steelers, one of the, I don't know, what had less fanfare coming into it, you think? Texans Steelers or Chargers Patriots? If we'd have gone back to like week 8 and said these are going to be two playoff games.
I mean, Texans Steelers, I guess. Like,
yeah, I mean, the Patriots were good. We thought the Chargers
were the Texans. Yeah, the Texans, like, Texans weren't in the playoffs at all in week 8. Like, they clawed out of hell.
Yeah. Right. And sorry, Max asked, by the way, real quick, Max asked, is Jim McMahon a Hall of Fame quarterback? That case I'm talking about, Max, doesn't go that far back. It goes back to Troy Aikman is how far. So it's like 35, I think, years or so, 30, maybe it's 30 years, whatever it is. It's back to that last Aikman Super Bowl, just on how heavily weighted quarterback has been in the NFL. Now, the craziest part about it is how many of them Brady and Mahomes have won collectively. Like, you've had these dynastic runs, which have taken up almost half of that time. That's what made this year a little crazier when you start to go through some of those, like, no Mahomes, no Brady for the first time since, right? That's where you were just like, whoa, like, those two have dominated back to back. It's just so weird because it took so long to get to Brady to be able to do that. And then Mahomes started a trajectory just like Brady's. And you're like, well, maybe it's not that rare. But so, yeah, it doesn't go back to McMahon. I haven't taken it actually back that far. Rick says it's the fourth year or so that they've had a wild card game on Monday. I'll take your word for it, Rick. I honestly don't remember.
I have no idea.
To go back and look. But I
know the Chiefs haven't played on a Monday on a wild card round. The Chiefs
always it's probably the wild card round, and then it doesn't happen in the division round. But I do think ABC still gets a game in the divisional round. Typically, the divisional round is like the round that can't miss. The wild card round delivered like crazy, and we still have one to go. It's usually the divisional round where you just are like, this is insane.
That's what I'm saying. Right, like, now. this year, real, like, because you have no idea who's good. And we've said that since like week 4 of like, who's the best team in football? Nobody knows. And now we're in the wild card round and still nobody knows the answer to that question because every team has flawed. Like, every team has shown you struggles of one way or another. And now you can make the case that it might be the Patriots because they haven't shown you that much struggle. But they also, then you go back to the, the schedule, obviously. Sorry, excuse me. The schedule from the season is their biggest flaw. How long can they keep riding that? And, you know, they beat the Chargers who were beat up. And, you know, it keeps going into the divisional round. So, I don't know. I still don't know who the best team in football is. I don't know who the top two best teams in football
are. Well, look, I don't think we picked, after they got reseeded into the playoffs, I don't think we, like, picked a Super Bowl. For me, it was Rams Bills. Very just like, just felt like a lazy take to take the Rams and the Bills. So, you know, it's like, I don't know, the Rams and the Bills, that doesn't feel awful right now. It feels all right. I think that's probably who I'd stick with. If we reseeded again into the divisional round, I'd probably stick with it.
I have no idea. I'd pick, like, as crazy as it is, I think I'd pick like Patriots Bears.
Nobody has any idea, by the way.
I know.
Like, that's awesome. That makes this more fun.
I agree. Like, if you, after tonight, especially, like, once we see a winner from tonight, like, you could ask 100 people, I think, and you may have a split, like, whatever, 10% for each pairing it could be, because it's just like, I have no idea. There's not going to be a clear in a way. It's 70% said Rams Bills.
And back to the class of last year, because, yeah, it could totally be Patriots Bills. I think the Bears are a little, I think the Bears are going to have to, I think they're going to have to outplay their ability to get there. I do. I think the comeback was incredible, but they needed a 25 point comeback in the second half.
I agree.
So
they got flaws.
But you remember, like, Jaden Daniels last year, like, that class, it delivered with Daniels as a rookie, and now three of them are going to make it into the divisional round the next year. Three different ones, by the way. And that is wild stuff. One other storyline yesterday that's making its run. I don't know, Max, did you get this from TJ? So after the Jaguars blew the game to the Bills, Liam Cohen was lobbed some softball. I don't even know if there's softballs in post game. Do you have the sound, Max?
Yeah.
Okay, let's play it and then we'll react to it for just a minute here.
Hold on. It's on X. So hold on.
Okay. Max is getting there. You tell us where you got it, Max. So the Jags blow the lead to the Bills. And after the game, Liam Cohen, who's done a remarkable job in Jacksonville, if we're all being honest, from 3 wins to 13 wins, he gets into the post game. And this is one of my least favorite things that happens. Not what was done. What was done is what it is. But after what it's done, we'll talk about that. Okay. So here it is. Here's the audio.
How you doing today? Lynn Jones, Jacksonville Free Press News. I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
Hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you
it.
Just hold your head up, okay?
Thank
and
you,
ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, so that's Lynn Jones. I don't know anything about Lynn Jones. Nobody does before yesterday. Nobody here. She works for a news outlet of some kind. Clearly isn't on the Jaguars beat regularly in a post game. But that's, listen, that's not the place for that. But now everybody's got to, like, this is one of those things. Everybody's got to take a stand. Is this okay or it's not okay? Like, you're going to get lectured by reporters and, like, I'm like, come on, guys.
This is the stance that, like, this, two things could be true is the biggest thing that I've seen from this. One, that's awesome. The fact that, you know, a coach was told that and, like, had to take a step back from football and hear that from somebody is pretty cool. And I can agree with people about that. The fact that it happened in the middle of a press conference, and I listened back, that was the third question.
Oh,
like, there was 5 more minutes after that. If that was the last thing, as he's walking away, if you want to just say, like, hey, coach, I just wanted to say, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a little more, you know, but, like, they interrupted this middle of a press conference to say that. It wasn't a question. The other part of this, if you wanted to say all that stuff and then say, as you reflect back, what was this season like? Like, that's another thing. But the fact of the matter is the press conferences are a place where questions are asked. And now people on social media are saying the only people that are pissed about this are reporters. And that's why reporters are the worst people on the earth. Like, I don't know.
It's fine. Like, this is, I don't think she's on the regular sports beat. Yeah. So if she loves that community and reports on it that way, then yeah, he's been a major impact. He's been a major positive impact on the community. You say it to the side. And here's the thing that is annoying is, like, all the grandstanding of, like, that's not the place. And it's not, but who cares? Yeah. Right. It's that you do have limited amounts of time. And, like, when your job is to find compelling things to talk about, and this is probably it for a while. Like, you need those moments. You need, every moment is precious of those moments. So it's like, you're just sitting there like, all right.
This is the biggest thing that I take away from it is that, like, it's not that big of a deal. The fact that it's made its way viral because, like, Adam Schefter is saying that it's awesome. My mind immediately goes to, like, well, then everybody's going to try to do this and it's going to become an every press conference. And then it's like,
true.
This is the slipperiest slope. Like, what are we going to turn these things into?
Yeah, you just, it's fine. Look,
it's
things,
not that big of a deal.
We are joined now by Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills. As the Shockers get a 78-67 win over North Texas last night. Nice 11-point home win, a nice bounce-back win for the Shocks. And, Coach, it was I don't know how you guys felt about it after the game, and I haven't heard, you know, the post-game reaction, but that seemed inspired to me, which has to be good timing, right? It was a tough loss earlier in the week, but, man, you guys bounced back, and those guys brought the energy defensively, at least to my eyes yesterday. How did you guys feel about it?
Jacob, TJ, can y'all hear me okay?
We gotcha.
Good. Good morning. I felt like we, you know, you have to respond, and I felt like we did that. There was defensive energy. It wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing basketball game given the 18 turnovers, but, you know, knowing that was a top 35 defensive team in the country, to be able to convert 51% of your opportunities. The reason that they're good defensively is that they turned you over. And so there were segments, there were moments that the spacing, the ball handling, the passing wasn't what it needed to be, but we were able to give ourselves a chance just defensively. because we were able to contain two really good players in David Terrell and Jayshon Stevenson.
Yeah, defense played great. The biggest story the fans in the arena took away was obviously Kenyon Giles, 33 points. I kind of cherry-picked this stat. I'll put my hand up on that. But in the last 20 years, Shockers to score 32 points is Cleanthony Early, Fred Van Vliet, Marcus McDuffie, and Kenyon Giles. That kind of says the level of score that he is. And whenever he plays like he did yesterday, you know, 33, he could go even more than that, I imagine.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one, TJ. That's a good company to be in. But, you know, he is a dynamic scorer, has the ability to finish at the rim, shoot the long ball, has all three levels, can go to his middle game, can play off the ball, can play on it. I thought, you know, give North Texas credit. They kind of took him out. And so he was just really efficient. I mean, 13 of 16 from the field. You're not going to be able to do that every night. But even with his limited touches, I say limited, 16 shots is probably what he needs to be around, somewhere between the 15 and 20 mark every game. But I didn't feel like anything was forced. Was really proud. I know the fans were booing multiple times. Will Berg got the ball around the rim. And I thought both of those decisions by Will Berg were great. The one in the first half that was thrown behind him. And then the one with 90 seconds to play. I didn't think Will had a layup and showed poise. But if you remember, we get it to Caron Boyd. He goes and gets a paint touch. We kick it out to Kenyon Giles and he's able to drain a three. And just thought that level of patience that everybody showed, the entire team showed, is kind of some progress that we've been able to make in the last week.
Running clock to Will Berg's defense in the second half one was not a bad option either. So Giles goes 33. I'm curious, when you guys are seeing him in his groove like that, are you encouraging him when he's got a hot hand, like, hey, shoot more? And because it feels like the team can sense it and feel it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's probably more of it than anything else is that the others sense it. And so you have to, I mean, it's a fine line. You can just start shooting just to shoot. Hey, I made three in a row and it's the shot fallacy. Well, if I make three in a row, I'm going to make four in a row. Not if you're taking bad ones. And then you also get in this tension to where the other team's just looking for one guy. And there's other opportunities created for those other four guys. And some of the gravity that KG creates because we're able to go downhill because people are paying such attention to him. Like, we need to be able to take advantage of that. So it's why basketball isn't a science. It's an art. And I think that, you know, as the more and more the players are around each other, in my opinion, like, we're right at the halfway mark, 17 games, you know, you're guaranteed 31. And then, you know, hopefully you're getting more in the conference tournament, NCAA tournament. But I think as you go through this process, you just see more and more of a learning curve and you see players adapting to it.
Coach, you talked about after the Rice loss, you know, there was some struggles of finishing inside, getting the looks that you kind of wanted inside more so than finishing, I imagine. The one thing that I kind of took away comparing box scores is against Rice, you guys shoot 22 threes. Against North Texas, you shoot 11, and it felt like you were kind of getting more of the looks inside that you were looking for. Was there an emphasis change potentially, or did it kind of just better looks come inside the paint this time?
Yeah, I would just tell you that's what the other teams were giving you, right? We only shot four threes there in the first half yesterday against North Texas, and you can see it was a really concerted effort, not only to run guys off the line, but not give guys looks. And so what it did was open up the court, and the spacing allowed other players to go one-on-one. And we have a good one-on-one player in Kenyon Giles, and he was able to make shots. And then at the same time, his ability, because of his touch, it allows us to offensive rebound. And, you know, you have a dynamic offensive rebounder in Will Berg. Emmanuel Okorafor is good. Caron Boyd is elite. You know, Dylan did a good job yesterday. TJ Williams. And it's why we're top 10 in the country at being able to do that. But you have to have somebody who can generate those shots in order for those shots to fall off around the rim. and that's what KG does. But I thought it was more that's what they were giving us, and because that's what they were giving us, we were able to utilize that to our advantage.
You mentioned TJ Williams. Do you anticipate with the long week, the long time off, that he will be ready to go for the road trip this week?
Yeah, he's been cleared. We'll put him through some physical test today, and he'll probably be back with us at practice tomorrow. But feel good about him being able to go Thursday. Yesterday, you know, we were down to 9 available players. We only played 8 just because Noah didn't get any minutes yesterday. But it'll be good to at least have a 10-man rotation as you go into this road trip.
Coach, we're looking ahead to those games. You've got 2 on the road. They're both in Florida. They're 2 good teams in the league. You know, combined 5-2, I believe, out to start their conference play as well. You get them on the road. You guys have, you know, you've looked good on the road at times. How do you approach a long week this week to get ready, which will then, of course, turn into a short time between those games Thursday, Sunday?
Well, I'm not a big fan of this, but they make us give players days off. I think coaches are smart enough to know if you're doing too much and you're sabotaging your team by, hey, we're going to go practice for 11 hours today, guys, and then we expect you to be ready. But I would like to just sit down with our guys and, like, review some film for 45 minutes individually. But all that to say, they got a day off. Kenyon Giles playing 40 minutes probably needs it. And so we'll go through, and then, guys, we don't start school till next week. So I'm more of a morning person. You know, TJ's mentioned it before. I was rocking and rolling by 3:57 this morning. Like, I'm up around 3:30, but it usually takes me about 20 minutes. So I would prefer to go. We usually practice at 10 a.m. That's a little late. I feel like it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon some days. But for the players, they're just waking up. And so we practice at 10. We'll do the same thing on Wednesday, catch a flight to Florida. And then I think it's at 9 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Central time. So that's more than enough time to kind of recuperate and make sure we can throw quality punches on Thursday night.
Coach, it's that new artery pumping blood for you at 3 in the morning. It gets you wanting to get out of bed, probably.
Well, I will tell you, there's a difference between blood flow and no blood flow, and you do have a little bit more energy.
I could believe that. You talked a little bit after the game. Obviously, you dropped the one in Charlotte. You dropped the one on Wednesday against Rice. You know, the message after that of losing 2 games that you kind of had right there at the end of the game to be able to bounce back against North Texas, you know, I know that there's a lot of talk about, you know, winning isn't natural. You say that a lot. You know, what was the message to get them to bounce back?
Yeah, you just can't get caught up. Everybody goes through the ebbs and flows of a season. If you haven't gone through it yet as a team, you will. And you're going to have these moments. You know, it's just I do not do well with players that just think everything's going to be perfect. Players who go into all this drama after a missed shot, like I just like that will set me off. And I'll usually they'll hear me on that one in practice. This whole idea that you're going to make every shot and we're going to act like we're 6 years old and we didn't get our macaroni and cheese today. And like that stuff really bothers me. So you just encourage players. We're not going to ride this wave. We understand that from an outside perspective, people you're up this amount. We think you should win the game. And it's true. We believe we should win the game, but it's we're not going to ride the ebbs and flows of it. You need to understand that it's a part of it. And what you can't do is let one mistake lead to 2. And then you just can't allow this whole process of multiple mistakes just adding up. And I just thought how we handled, you know, what was a 17-point lead at around the 13-minute mark gets all the way down to 6. And I just thought we handled that well. Obviously, being at home helps. We need to be able to handle that on the road as well.
That's been a theme. Yeah, it's you know, people ask me, they ask us our thoughts on the Shockers all the time, and it's like, I tell you, like, they seem engaged, and we've all seen basketball teams where that stuff has snowballed. Maybe it's this is an older group, I don't know, but it doesn't seem, at least from us to the outside, that they've let anything really shake them for longer than a game this year.
Yeah, I mean, I just really encourage our guys to prevent distractions. You know, one of the first people I met with when I took the job here was Craig Porter. And he just said, just watch out for the outside noise, he says, because it can seep into the locker room. And so I think I have a group that just doesn't pay attention to the outside noise. I don't want to get too biblical here, but there's a story in the Torah of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is building a wall and he's doing a great job. And the outside people come in to cause distractions. And he says, I'm doing a good work. I'm not stopping. And so I just listen, guys, we're doing good work. We're not going to stop what we're doing. And I think with teenagers, sometimes they can get focused on that. And we had two seniors on our team, and Karam Boyd and Kenyon Giles. That's why they play so much. But I will tell you, I think this group has done a good job of, however the game goes, good or bad, let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah, we see it too. Two games this week, both on the road, both nationally televised. You'll hear them both over on KEYN. Coach, good luck, safe travels, get home safely, and we'll see you next week.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Here goes Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach. We're right up against it. We'll take a quick break. Right back with more Sports Daily.